بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقي فأولئك هم الفائزون صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس معادن كمعادن الذهب والفضة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable elders, respected friends, those listening over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wherever we see some good happening, be it in the business world, be it in the academic world, somebody has made some effort, then you always reward them. Alhamdulillah, Yawmul Jumu'ah, middle of the day, and this is the majma that has come early. So the acknowledgement obviously and the reward will only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as they say, the early bird catches the worm. So the early musalli gets all the advice. It is mentioned in the kitab Amalul Yawm wal Layla by Ibn Sunni Rahmatullah Ali, a very authoritative kitab, that person who after Jumu'ah Salah recites Subhanallahil Azimi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahil Azimi wa bihamdihi 100 times, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is so merciful and looks for opportunity to forgive His servants. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu Arhamur Rahimeen, Allah will forgive 100,000 sins of that particular person. Then Sone Pe Suhaga, gold upon gold. Not only that, for that Subhanallah Al-Azimi wa bihamdihi does Allah reward him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive 24,000 of his parents' sins. We should keep cognizance of this. It can be read here in the masjid 2 or 3 minutes as recommended by our mashayikh and elders. Or if somebody is parked badly and is to leave immediately, then whilst in the vehicle, pass it on to others as well. We'll all do that inshallah. Now we get on to the topic proper. Imagine we have an investment, and this investment runs into the trillions, whether it is in property, whether it is in the commercial circle, whatever investment we have made, and suddenly we see this investment is going down, and we get the information that this investment is in deep water, it's in a critical condition. How should we react to this investment? We will have to contact our accountants. We'll have to contact those people who are handling our finances and economics. Get them on board. If they are overseas, make them cancel the meetings. Why? This is my lifetime savings that is on the rocks. Not only that, my family is involved. Not only that, there's so many things running around this investment. So the cause for concern is there because it's a monetary investment. Today we're also going to discuss about a very important investment. An investment that we can't lay a price to. An investment that is beyond value. It's invaluable. You can't add, you can't subtract. It's worth so much. And that investment, respected listeners, are our youth. When we say the term youth, we always think of a group of boys or group of girls. But every one of us have these people called the youth in our family. If they're not our children, they're our nephews and nieces. Or our grandchildren. They're our neighbors' children. They're our family children. They are our locality children. This investment which is our future, that will carry the future of Durban, carry the future of South Africa, carry the future of humanity. What effort are we making on the youth? Alhamdulillah, the expression that is mentioned in English, we take out our hat. In other words, we salute, we acknowledge the ulama kiram for setting up Darul Ulooms. We acknowledge the Hifz classes for setting up Tahfizul Quran. We say 10 out of 10, 11 out of 10 to the Makatib. You're doing a wonderful job. Other centers that are educating our children on the right platform. We put a tick in your box also. However, my baby is my baby. My child is my responsibility. If I'm outsourcing my responsibility and I feel that I have done sufficient, then this is not a correct statement. There's a certain worry that has to come from the parent and from those who are biologically connected to the children. Today the thought is, I am biologically connected, but somebody else must be immunologically connected. That statement, immunologically, you won't find it in any dictionary. It is a close crop to me. I chose that word. Immunologically connected to somebody. Don't leave it to other people. I may not have the expertise to teach the Quran on a Hifz level, but I can worry about it. I may not have the knowledge to make the child an alim, but I can worry about it. I may not be among the mashayikh to know tasawuf, but I can have concern that how my child can get character. The question is, respected listeners, wherever you are, and by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, wherever this talk will reach, what effort and what time am I giving behind this investment? Let me show you the world. How they understand our children. How they look at our children. With what eye have they got on the youth? They look at them as a very gullible lot. They look at them as a very energetic lot. They look at them as a lot and a group that has got extended amount of time. They've got capabilities. And they've got abilities. Now, the world out there understands that these are the sifat and qualities of the youth. And so everybody jumped on the bandwagon. In no particular order. The sports industry has got their eye, has got their telescope, has got the GPS system on the youth. Come play for us. We'll pay you so much for being part of the team. Why? They know the agility and capability of this youngster and they take him into the team. But there comes a time when they will use him and now they will in a very flowery language tell him, you're no more going to play the game anymore. Now you must become a coach. So kind of throwing the person up that I'm above the playing level. But in reality, they have told him that they're missing one word. Mahzoof Ibarat. You know, it's not being said. You're a coach. You're a slow coach. Now you're not good enough for the pitch and for the crease. Now you're not good enough for playing defense and playing center and goalkeeper. And then when he's past the coach age, they say, now you must write a book. Similar with the military. They have their eye on the youth. Because an old man, for him to carry a Kalashnikov or an AK-47 is a daunting task. And that man, half the time, he will be fainting in the heat wherever the operation is carrying on. So then they give these youth medals and honors and call him corporal and colonel and captain and sergeant and whatever have you. only to a certain time. The fashion industry has also got their focus on the youth, because they know اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة. From amongst the qualities that Allah Ta'ala describes in stages, one quality is a person like Zinat, he must look nice. So the fashion industry has got its focus on the youth. The business houses, the industries, make him a manager, make him a CEO, call him a big boy, so to say, give him the red pen. But all of this is to take advantage of the youth. Even the education circle, to a certain extent, without prejudice to anybody that's doing it honestly, you have become a business. You are a business. Your focus is not primarily on the youth, it's on what they can offer to your coffers. And the rest of the world that has got capitalistic mind has got a similar thought. Their thought process is on how they can add value to themselves. Conversely, on the other side of the coin, when Islam looks at youth, our vision, our projection of the youth is of a productive nature. When that youth, from the worldly perspective, will become old, they say, now you are cold. In other words, there's no place for you. You don't focus. You no more play a part. You're out of the equation. Go find one remote corner and pass your days. Islam adds the letter G in front of the word old. When you become old, now you are in your stage that is gold. Our deen does not extract usage of the youth so it adds value to the deen. The deen is already valuable. Inna deena indallah, in Islam, it's already, that is something that is stamped by Allah. But rather, deen adds value to the youth. It puts a feather on his cap. Oh, respected parents, respected ones that are connected to young boys and young girls, let's step out of this mentality to view my children as a cash cow. You know, I have a little bit of knowledge of farming, so I want to share with you. When Daisy, the Friesland or Jersey cow, produces 50 liters of milk a day, then that one is given special vitamins and special attention, to the extent that they'll even put it into a room that has some aircon. There's a specific person that has been allotted these cows to look after them while they are giving milk. We can milk them. It's a money-making entity. No sooner Daisy comes onto 5 liters a day and Bertha takes over, the attention towards Daisy is almost zero now. You are now fit between the dairy and the abattoir. Unfortunately, this dilemma of cash cow mentality has stepped into the ummah, and it's in our Muslim homes, that I'm only viewing my child with one eye, one eye, one eye. How wealthy can he or she become? And I understand that wealth is next to success, and I will be successful if my child becomes super wealthy. And everything that is projected is behind that. Now don't misunderstand the talk from the mimbar. We are not saying and advocating that leave your children to the peril of society and they must melt away as paupers, and in every corner of Overport they must say a sticky brew at bus. That's not what we are saying. But primarily, on a basic intrinsic platform, has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really given us children so that we can only think about the health and the wealth? No, respected friends. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ.
ليعرفون. We have not created jinnat and mankind, but for the worship, recognition of Allah. There's a superior task, respected parents, respected community of Overport, and those that are visiting our area today. Welcome to you. We got to think how Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam taught. And if we don't do that, we are in deep waters. Let me show you what can happen if our children don't get deen. One is they will get destruction themselves, because there's no construction in their life, no direction. They'll be bereft of the connection of masjid and muallims and ulama and kitabs. They'll be bereft and at a loose end with regards to any direction of tazkiyah and reformation. They won't have knowledge about how to conduct their life. They'll be living on instinct. They'll be living on doing things as per the need, without a governance of Sharia. There's no Allah in that life, or if it features occasionally. That's the first harm that will come to them. Respected listeners, let us see the harm that will come to us. If we as parents don't inculcate what we're supposed to inculcate in our children, it will bite us back. Just like how, if we have a pedigree horse, but it's not harnessed properly, that horse will become a bucking horse. It will throw us off its back. And if our foot is still in the stirrup, we're in big problems. It's going to drag us. How many a parent is coming to the amil, coming to the mufti, coming to the maulana, Shaykh, give me a taweez for my daughter. Maulana, can I have some kind of prescription? Because what my child is doing to me is beyond description. Life is an echo, brothers. Respected sisters over the receiver, life is an echo. Kama tadinu tudanu. Jaise karni vaise barni. Na mane to karke dek. Jannat bhi hai, jahannam bhi hai. Phir bhi na mane to marke dek. Are we waiting for that point? Let's view our children with a different eye. Let's look at our children with the eye like how Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam looked at their children. Biwadin ghayri zi zar'in inda baytikal muharram. Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah, Ibrahim ala nabina alayhimus salatu wasalam, leaves his wife and child where there is no habitation, vegetation, communication, transportation. You know, what a situation. But what does he say? رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَى. His focus, what he's going to ask for the provisions, comes later. He wants them to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is hadara Yaqub al-Maut, is called libanihi ma ta'buduna min ba'di. O my children, after me, what will you worship? Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had the focus on the deen of their children. In a very delicate situation, when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is beaten and he's abused, there's dust on his face. Can you imagine that plight? Hi. What is the condition? At that occasion, there's a girl, his daughter. She's coming to clean the face of her father, and her upper garment is exposing some portion of the upper neck. Ya bunayya khammiri alayka nahrik. Khammiri alayka nahrik. That cover this portion in such a volatile condition. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still worried about the deen of his child. What have we done? Unlimited amount of expenses so that my child, listen to me carefully, I'm not mincing my words, I'm speaking straight. for secular education, not education, where the child can become ungodly, can lose the track of divinity, can forget the direction towards Jannat and pave the way towards hell. Kullukum ra'in, kullukum ra'in, wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyati. Every one of us is a shepherd, and we'll be questioned about our flock. It's not sufficient I did aqiqah and gave the name to the child. It's not sufficient that I brought the child and just put him into an institution. I've got to inculcate the constitution into my child. Respected parents, what happens to us when we pass away? How many a person comes to the Mawlana? Mawlana, I need you there at the burial. We often think it's to pass our condolences, but he'll come behind the scenes. Yeah, it's happening in Hilal. I'm not talking of some overseas cemetery in South America, in Paraguay, in Uruguay. No. Hilal. Hilal cemetery. Mawlana, you'll read for my father. You heard that. Ulama, you can bail me out. Mawlana, you'll read for my father. Why must I read for your father? I will read for your father, no doubt. Every Muslim, he must read for me, I'll read for him. But this is the day your dad left this world, lad. And you can't read for him. I want to ask a question, not to the man that's asking me to read or you to read. Let's ask that man, why didn't he teach him to read? Was I too interested in the degree that I forgot about the divine decree? Wallah, my dear friends, let's play our part with our youth. They are going through a very challenging time. One person in this masjid some years ago described the condition of the youth. Imagine you wear a size 8 shoe, but now you only got a size 7. One discomfort. And then on top of that, in that shoe is a pebble that is stuck. Shoo. Can you think? I know I can't. It's like my mind is gone. And then with the recent inclement weather, you stepped into a puddle and you're wearing an absolutely tight socks and that entire tacky is full of water. Can you imagine that condition? How your brain is jammed and warped at that moment? Our youth with the growing pains and the current challenges are going through all this. You and I need to give time behind them. You and I need to invest once again behind them. And it's not a difficult task. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, besides being the most accepted person in humanity, had a tool called love. Think about it. Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Mus'ab is coming from what we'll say a plush background. Mus'ab is coming from the upmarket background, what we see in our society. What did make Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu ta'ala leave this world of comfort? He wore perfume that if he walked past here, you'll come to know minutes after that, Mus'ab passed here. But what makes him leave this world in this condition, that when the Sahaba are pulling the burial cloth over his head, it's exposing the feet. And when they're pulling it over the feet, it's exposing the head. Eventually, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling them, cover the head and use iskhir leaves, in our terms, patta leaves, to cover the feet. What made this youngster make this decision? It was a love, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amongst other things, the spirituality, but they found love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A youngster comes to Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Nabi Allah, permit me to commit zina. Are bhai, if it was an alim, what won't we do to him? This is not just an alim, this is the alim of all ulama, this is not a sheikh, this is sheikhul mashayikh, this is not just a normal person. Muhammadur Rasulullah, sahib wahi, who received the verse, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاهِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. That man is being asked permission for zina. How did Nabi of Allah react to him? In what a dynamic way. I'm not going into the intrinsics of the hadith, but at the end of it, that person says, zina became the most hated thing, the way Rasulullah s.a.w. handled me. Oh my friends, love today is given to the golf game. And I'm saying it clearly, love today is given to the paddle game. What's happening? Go paddle, Jamaat. What is this paddle in Durban? Are we gone mad? Nobody says don't have something light-hearted. Quran is not like that. There is time for light-hearted moments. Tulaibuha wa tulaibuka. You should find a compatible wife, compatible husband. There should be some rapport between you. Rasulullah ﷺ drank cold water, no doubt. He ran the race with Ma Aisha. But what's happening in Durban now is not on. When we hear of Allah forbid, we don't curse when we mention this. But Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadvi alayhi murrahma, Alimiya Rahmatullah Ali says, when you see the clouds in the sky, then know that now a thunderstorm is now unavoidable. We are not suffering natural disasters. Have we forgotten the looting so quickly? Have we forgotten the COVID so quickly? Again, I'm reiterating. I'm not saying don't keep fit, but don't become so fit that you render yourself spiritually unfit. Don't please yourself so much that you displease Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Coming back to the mainstream. We have got this youth in front of us. Currently this topic is surrounding the male youth. There's a separate topic for the female youth. But the grace of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this masjid on a yearly basis. Last year, if I'm not mistaken, was 2nd of December. This year it is 30th of November, which is tomorrow. There's a grand event that is taking place. After the KZN annual Ijtima, the biggest gathering that is taking place under Masjid-e-Hilal, my dear friends in Natal, is this particular gathering of the youth. We are not looking at numbers. The numbers game anybody can play. But what we are talking about, that this gathering of youth, all of us who are seated here, 1,000+, if we can take the clear message home for boys that are 13 years and above, I'm repeating that point because half the masjid will be filled like a nursery school now. 13 years and above, inform our wives, mothers, grandmothers, whatever it is, prepare this youngster and bring him here by 4:30. Azan is going to be called out early tomorrow. 4:45 is Azan, 5:00 is Jamaat, and after that a very interesting amal is going to carry on. Plus minus 10 to 15 youth are going to give their report of their exposure to Tablighi Jamaat. Some from the varsity, some from the college, some from the Darul Uloom, some from the madrasa, some who are working, some who left, whatever it is. My experience in Tablighi, diamond cuts diamond, then it's Maghrib Salah, and after that we have an Iman Yaqeen Tashkili talk, which has become something that has become irrelevant. Today people say, Maulana, can you give us a dynamic talk? Give us something that is, current affairs related. What is more current affairs than moth? What is more current affairs than the youth and the plight of this investment that is going down? So that Iman Yaqeen talk will take place. And then, my dear friends, this portion of the masjid, that means from this aluminum doors, is going to be cordoned off. Normally we have the tashkil on this side, but we can't contain this youth, which is a good sign. So there'll be a tent put there, so those who are used to enter this part of the masjid, with due respect to you, you are ours, we are yours. Just accommodate for the moment, you can come in from the other door, that is just few meters down the line. So the tashkil will take place after the bayan. And inshallah, a mass amount of youth. Last year over 300 youth stood up to give the name from the crowd of 2,000, which is almost over one-tenth. We're hoping this year about 600. Say inshallah. Thereafter will be Isha. If the Isha is a few minutes this way or that way, bear with this, that my patience with the youth, for the program of the youth, for the akhirat of the youth, 5 minutes won't destroy my entire evening. And thereafter, whoever is here, there'll be a sumptuous, scrumptious, delicious and tantalizingly amazing supper provided for you. Say inshallah. So my dear friends, this is the youth program in front of us. Between the khutbah, without raising your hands in your heart, say, oh Allah, make this ijtima an ijtima of success inshallah, this jor. Between Asr and Maghrib today, raise your hands. Tomorrow tahajjud time, all of us have got a rand or more in the pocket. Let's give sadqa for this program. That Ya Allah, change the condition of the hearts. Then we won't have to cry, my son, my daughter gone like this. I'm looking for good son-in-law. Where do I find him? It's not on take a lot. You got to work a lot to take it. Get the point, brothers. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept each and every one of us. May Allah make this jor for the youth a success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our youth. Those that are gone far off the mark. Yawmul Jumu'ah, ulama kiram mentioned 20 to 40 occasions du'as are accepted. If this is that occasion, whichever one of our sons or daughters has gone far from the shade and are basking in the sun, may Allah ta'ala bring them back home. May Allah ta'ala accept the ummah of the youth and use them as the flag bearers of Islam. Whatever I have told you, and if it benefited you, Tawfiq-e-Ilahi, Murshid-e-Pak ki barkat se, and if I said something that does not befit your respect and your honor, the senior seated here, please forgive me. This is my weakness. You can correct me after the talk. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.